Have you ever had a bad day? Ever notice how people love to encourage you with sayings like, hang in there, it'll be okay. Or as you leave, people will say, have a good one. I appreciate the good intentions, but have often wondered what good they do. I can tell someone who is having a hard time at their job, it'll work out. But I really don't know that. Or I can say to someone, have a good day. But I really don't have any impact on that day. Three times in our text today, Jesus said, peace be with you. This was not just a trite expression. When Jesus says, peace be with you, it means something. Jesus has the power to give you the peace that he wishes for you. So when Jesus says to you today, peace be with you, you can take it to heart. Jesus spoke these words to the disciples on the evening of his resurrection. They had experienced a very difficult weekend. They had seen the rage of the Jews taken out on Jesus as they sent him to the cross for crimes he did not commit. They had to sit around for a whole day during the Sabbath just thinking about what had happened, waiting to go back out to the tomb. Probably very anxious, worried, contemplating the future of their existence. Once they got to the tomb, their dead master was not there. Rumor was he was alive and had shown himself to the women and a few disciples. But they were still afraid. The same Jews who had come after their leader were now coming after them. They were willing to risk it all, even their own lives, just to meet with their fellow believers. The only thing standing between them and the potential of death was a lock on a door. They lived in fear. The Jews would come any minute, any second. They had no peace. It was at this tense moment that Jesus miraculously appeared in the middle of the room out of nowhere and said, peace be with you. Only Jesus could pull that off. To be honest, if someone appeared in the middle of my bedroom at night and said, peace be with you, I probably would first jump through the ceiling. It would scare me. But it wasn't to startle the disciples. It was to assure them that he had everything under control. Once they saw who it was, they could rest easy. Jesus, their friend. Jesus, their master, their leader, and their God was with them. They could rest easy knowing that Jesus was there to protect them. Have you locked your doors yet? Crime in our neighborhoods make us nervous. Theft of our identity, even if you don't have a credit card, can ruin your credit and your good name. Those contemplating marriages still look at a rate of 50% chance they'll dissolve. Subsequent marriages even higher. I could look at my own life as I pondered this text. Last year I had cancer. Will it return? Or when I was run over by the car, will my body ever heal completely again? What was going to happen this year? I know my wife says, please, no more hospital visits. But will there be? There are lots of reasons in our life to be afraid. And where does God come into the picture? With many things we can worry about, how often do we treat Jesus like he never rose from the grave? We treat Jesus like he was still dead. Every time you fear something, you are telling Jesus, you must be dead. We act like the cowering disciples in fear of the Jews. Hallelujah! He is risen. Jesus is alive and well. Jesus is living at your home. Jesus is living at your school. Jesus is living at your place of employment. Jesus is living right here at Redeemer Lutheran Church, Fredericksburg, Virginia. You might not be able to hear him, but he is saying to you this morning, peace be with you. Relax. I'm right here next to you. I've not gone anywhere. This is not a cliche. This is not a nice saying that never comes true. This is not a politician telling you, I'm protecting you. This is your Almighty God who rose from the dead saying to you, peace be with you. Almighty God is telling you to relax. It's okay. He's in control. Let me ask you, how many of you have worried about money this year? Or maybe worried about your health? Or worried about your children or your parents? Maybe before we call Thomas, doubting Thomas, we look at ourselves. We cause ourselves ulcers, nights without sleep, and 1,000 other problems, all because we doubt that God is really in control. Notice what Jesus did with Thomas' unbelief. Jesus gently assured Thomas that everything was going to be okay. Jesus used a time of fear and a time of doubt as an opportunity to assure his disciples that everything was okay. Jesus used it as an opportunity to promote his peace. Jesus showed the hands. Jesus showed his side. He was sending them the greatest message of peace that could ever he have sent them. Jesus was offering them more than a security blanket. He was telling them, look at my hands. I was just punished for the sins of the world. Look at my feet. I was just pierced for you. But death could not hold me down. God accepted my sacrifice. Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Because of his life, death, and resurrection on the cross, his death on the cross and his resurrection, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. You are saved. You can relax. Even if the Jews break down the door and kill you, they won't get your soul. Through faith in Jesus Christ, your soul is his. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you are going to heaven. That was the peace Jesus was offering them. It wasn't just the peace of knowing that he was alive again. It was a peace of knowing that their sins were forgiven. In just a few minutes, we will share in the sacrament of the altar. Listen carefully as we go through the liturgy. After the Lord's Prayer, we have the Pax Domini, where I say, the peace of the Lord be with you always. And the answer isn't, and also with you, which is what we like to say out of habit sometimes. But, amen, it shall be so. You are receiving Christ's true body and true blood for the forgiveness of sins. The peace of knowing that God accepted his sacrifice. The peace of knowing your sins are forgiven. The peace of knowing God accepts and loves you for just who you are. I pondered that again this week. I wondered about my life when I was younger. I needed the love of Jesus in my life. I gave my trust to Jesus not to avoid going to hell, but knowing that Jesus loved me so much, he took on my human form, lived the life I could not, died for the sins that were mine, and rose again, and God accepts and loves me just for who I am. In your baptism, through faith in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven, and God loves and accepts you just for who you are today and for eternity. That was the peace that Jesus offered Thomas. Thomas needed the love of Jesus at that moment. Jesus, instead of just rebuking him, was lovingly restoring Thomas's faith and offering him the peace of mind, knowing that all his doubts had been paid on the cross. This is the assurance that we need as well every day of our life. In the daily events of our life, sometimes we wonder if God is or will protect us. We have been guilty of doubting God. We have been guilty of treating Jesus as if he were a dead God. We fear for our lives and we doubt if our sins are forgiven. But Jesus says to each of you this morning, there's no reason to be afraid. There's no reason to doubt my promise. With the God-giving faith through the Holy Spirit, we still have the peace of mind knowing that we are still going to heaven. Why? Because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Now, some people have this peace more than others. Some are more relaxed than others. Some, like Thomas, have a hard time believing Jesus is risen and God is in control. Like Thomas, they say, "Show me the proof you are in control, God. Show me some miracles." So they wait and wait and wait and argue. They wait for a miraculous change of events to happen in their life. They wait to see God produce some change in the world. And they wait. And they die waiting. One of the things I've learned in my marriage, my wife has a childlike faith. I'm jealous. Every day of my life, I argue with God. Well, I'm getting better at arguing. I don't argue as much as I used to. But I spent years arguing with God. Why, God? Show me. Let me explore. Let me try this. Let me push on the edges. And God kept saying, "Peace be with you, David." In our text today, Jesus reveals two ways to find his peace. First, Jesus reveals to us, if you want peace, listen to my word and listen to each other. When Jesus said, "Peace be with you," for the second time, he told his disciples, "If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." We do not need Jesus to come and say, "Peace be with you." Every time you tell each other, "I forgive you," you receive the peace of God which passes all understanding. Instead of living in hatred with grudges, instead of living to judge others, knowing that God forgives us in Christ, we also live in forgiveness and love. That is what brings us peace. In my argumentative childhood, it wasn't until I forgave my father that we started to rebuild our relationship many years later. The peace of God, forgiveness. Secondly, we have the Word of God to listen to and give us peace. We don't need miracles in our lives, even though there's miracles going on all around us. We have the Word of God in our heart. That's why God gave us the Bible. Did you listen to our gospel? Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, Bible. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. The Bible has one primary purpose. We have the words of God specifically chosen to point us to one person, Jesus Christ. These words were written to show us that Jesus is the ruler of creation, in charge of all. He is the only source of peace and life. And we find our peace in hearing the sweet words of Jesus tell us, "Peace be with you. You are forgiven." You want to find peace in your life? Trust in Jesus. When you're feeling troubled, open your Bible to the Psalms and read them. You do not know until you have tried it how the Holy Spirit will work through those words to calm you down, reminding you of the fact that he is in charge. Then Jesus says to you, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." All of us experience challenges every day. How do we respond? We go back to the upper room and say, "Alleluia, Christ is risen."
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
We look at Jesus' hands and feet and say, "Jesus died for me." We listen and take to heart when Jesus speaks to us, "Peace be with you." This is God talking to you, the living God who rose from the dead and is ruling in heaven. When we believe that, we know that all of these material concerns are not worth all the worry. Jesus has prepared a place for each of us in heaven. It is not a worldly peace, it's a spiritual peace, a godly peace. A peace that passes all human understanding. Today, peace be with you. May God grant you that kind of peace. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please rise as we have the opportunity to confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.